All right, so today we have an interesting king we're going to look at, Josiah. And these are just a couple of depictions. I hope you have the background. He was a good king, and he did a lot of cleansing, if you will, of both Judah and Israel, and brought about a revival. So we're going to study him today. And I know you can't really read this, but I'm going to blow up. But basically, we've been teaching a lot of the Old Testament characters. And we've got the kings of Israel on the left and of Judah on the right, the prophets in the middle. And zooming in, about 3 weeks ago, Tim taught Hezekiah. And I've got it circled there in green. He was obviously a good king. His son, Manasseh, was horrible. And his son Amon, and then Josiah took over, and then his sons after it, and finally they were taken to Babylon. So we're going to go ahead and review a little bit here about Manasseh. This is in 2 Kings. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles if you're following along in your own Bible. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, so quite a long time. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, raised up altars for Baal, and made a wooden image, as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven. So Hezekiah, great king, his son, just takes him right down the toilet. Now his son, Amon, in chapter 21, was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Mesutalmeth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotba. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord, God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Amon conspired against him, and killed the king and his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. So Josiah is now coming on the scene. It's been 57 years since Hezekiah's reign has ended, and paganism is rampant throughout the land. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And jumping to 2 Chronicles 34. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. So again, he's 8 years old when he becomes king. He's now 16 when he starts to seek the Lord. This is now 65 years after Hezekiah's reign. And at 20 years of age here, he starts to purge Judah of all these pagan images, as we talk about here. Now, we'll find out in a few chapters, if you don't know already, that apparently within Jerusalem, there was not a copy of the law or the Torah. And so here he's a young king when he took over, and question I pose to you is, where, as his grandfather and father were both evil in the sight of the Lord, where is he getting this spiritual upbringing from? Anybody know? He's
the power behind the throne.
Huh?
And who's the power behind the throne?
Okay. Good question. Actually, he gets it from his mother, most likely anyway. And his mother, Jedidah, means the darling of Jehovah. And that's actually the female version of the name Jedidiah, which we can see here in 2 Samuel. Then David comforted Bathsheba's wife and went in to call her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. So again, most likely, my guess is from his mother. And of course, there were other key people placed, and we're going to touch on a few of those. Now jumping to 2 Chronicles. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and in Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke into pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars of the wooden images and beaten the carved images into powder, cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So again, Josiah is 20 years old at this point. Now, jumping to chapter 34, in the 18th year of his reign, so he's 26 years of old now, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, and the high priest here, Hilkiah, his name means God is my portion. Just so you know. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, who kept the doors, had gathered from the hand of Manasseh of Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel and from all Judah and Bethlehem, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. So, at this point, Josiah has started this small reformation, if you will, and he has an interest now in repairing the temple. And so he apparently made a plea to the countryside, and people felt good enough about this that they actually are donating money to rebuild or repair, I should say, the temple. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and the builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jahath, Obadiah, the Levites, the sons of Merari, and of Zechariah, Meshulam, and the sons of Kohathites to supervise. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did the work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. So Josiah takes on this daunting task, basically with honesty, right? He requested money, and he gives the money basically in the hands of those who were to serve in the temple, and basically tells them to take care of it. And so the outcome of that is that the work was done faithfully, and kind of reading into the story, it was done swiftly, right? The workers knew they were going to be compensated fairly. There wasn't going to be any cheating or what have you. And so this work was accomplished very speedily and faithfully, as it says. Now, I want to step back a moment. It turns out that Josiah, his birth was actually prophesied. And then we go back to 1 Kings 13, verse 1 through 3. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign that same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So this is 200-plus years before Josiah's time, and Hezekiah as well. Now, jumping back into 2 Chronicles, they're still working on the repair of the temple. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, All that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And he's the scribe, basically. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Anakim, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in the book. Now, it's clear, I think, from the context that they didn't find all the books of Moses, and what they found basically was a book of Deuteronomy. One, it would take days to read the entire five books. So, looking back in Deuteronomy, you can envision, let's read this, but I think at the end you could kind of envision this is the point in the reading in which Josiah tears his robe. So reading in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. So I don't, just mentally I get a picture. This is the time that Josiah tears his robe. So recall, before we went to Deuteronomy, the last thing that Josiah had done is he commanded Hilkiah to go inquire of the Lord. So going back concerning the book to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Toketh, the son of Hashra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. So we know from that that, you know, she's in the Levite line. And I looked up the name Huldah, what that means, and actually it means weasel. Oh. But when I looked into it more, it turns out in Eastern culture, they're not, it doesn't have a negative connotation like it does here. So the smart, cunning part is the only positive I think. So just a side comment there. I thought I was onto something at first. And they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his word against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I shall bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king." So, overall picture, right, for the first 18 years of Josiah's reign, he's tolerated pagan worship. He's done some cleanups, but there's still altars and everywhere around the country. And now they found the book, and upon hearing it, and confirmation from the Lord that this is his book, he knows that he can no longer tolerate paganism. So, picking up then in verse 29, "Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord." So, we have Josiah himself reading the entire book of Deuteronomy to the people. So you might ask, why? Well, one, in Deuteronomy, it says that the entire law was to be read every 7 years at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it was done every 7 years for the purpose so that children would learn to fear the Lord. That's what it says. But also, as we see here, he's about ready to reaffirm activate, I guess, the covenant again that they had with the Lord. Also recall chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, the blessing and cursing. So he's just read the entire book, and so all the people now have the background, if you will, what's going to happen if they obey, and what's going to happen if they don't obey. "Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand, so that inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant." So Josiah, again, reads from the book, and then he himself reaffirms this covenant, and he rightly understands that this has to be done on an individual level, just not on the corporate national level. And so he allows everybody a chance to reaffirm this covenant. And now that everybody within Jerusalem has basically reconfirmed their commitment to the Lord, basically the hard work now comes into play. So Josiah is going to start cleansing all the countryside. He's going to start in Jerusalem and kind of pay attention. He's going to step out basically around Jerusalem in kind of waves. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. And he carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the adulterous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in all the places all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes. And they threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord. So these were kind of the male prostitutes that Josh talked about, and where the women wove hangings for the wooden image, and that's the image of Asheroth there. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. From Geba to Beersheba, also he broke down the high places at the gates which were in the entrance of the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. So here's another problem that had transpired. Those that were trying to follow the Lord had left Jerusalem, and they were no longer coming to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was no longer the worship center, if you will. So part of what Josiah is doing here is he's again centralizing worship to Jerusalem. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech, that horrible child sacrifice, if you will. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. You know, again, so right in the temple, his grandfather had placed these altars. The king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. Oops. Then he defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Heshtoreth, the abomination of the Sidians, for Shamash, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcon, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. So from this, you could see that even in Hezekiah's time, Hezekiah himself did not tear down the altars that Solomon had built for his wives. And just jumping back a little bit there to see this, 1 Kings chapter 11. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Shamash, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrifice to their gods. So I think because of the who Solomon was and what he had built, Josiah finally is, you know, he's all in this, and he doesn't matter who built it, he's cleansing. So we're returning now to the cleansing, if you will, of the land. Verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, Both that altar and the high place he broke down, and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder. And he burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. So this it says right here, you could read it back in Deuteronomy, but they were to basically, destroy the altar, but to defile it, I guess is what I want to say, before they did that, so that they never could be used again. And that is what Josiah is doing here. Then he said, "What gravestone is this that I see?" So the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no one move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did them according to all the deeds that he had done in Bethel. And he executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. So again, he defiled all their altars and tore them down by burning the priests' bodies on them. And just a little map of the time frame of 2 Kings here. They're obviously in Jerusalem, and so he's going all the way up to Samaria and the northern kingdom and cleansing the entire land. So now that the cleansing of the land is complete, and he has centralized worship again to the temple in Jerusalem. Again, he's just read Deuteronomy, and he knows of the Feast of the Lord. So he sets about, time frame wise, that they can still keep the Passover. So they set about to try and do that. In chapter 35, "Now Josiah kept the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month," so when it was supposed to be. "And he set the priests in their duties and encouraged them for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he said to the Levites who taught all Israel who were holy to the Lord, 'Put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, according to your divisions, following the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon, his son, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the lay people, according to the division of the fathers' house of Levites. So slaughter the Passover offering, consecrate yourselves, and prepare them for your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses.'" So Josiah is again focused on this Passover. And as we'll see here, he is trying to encompass all of Jerusalem, every single person. Then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings for all who were present, to the number of 30,000, as well as 3,000 cattle. These were from the king's possessions. And his leaders gave willingly to the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave to the priests for their Passover offerings 2,600 from the flock and 300 cattle. Also Conaniah, his brothers Shemaiah, Nathaniel, Hashabiah, Jael, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave to the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 from the flock and 500 cattle. So everybody is donating to this giant Passover, if you will, so that everybody can participate. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Levites in their divisions according to the king's command. And they slaughtered the Passover offerings, and the priests sprinkled the blood with their hands while the Levites skinned the animals. Then they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the lay people, to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so they did with the cattle. Also they roasted the Passover offerings with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings they boiled in pots and cauldrons and pans and divided them quickly among all the lay people. Then afterward they prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in offering burnt offerings and fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers and the sons of Asaph were in their places, according to command of David, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, the king's seer. Also the gatekeepers were at each gate. They did not have to leave their position because their brethren of the Levites prepared portions for them. So again, they're looking after everyone within the city, and trying. The whole city is participating in this. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. And the children of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. So just as it was written, there has been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet, and none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as Josiah kept, with the priests and the Levites, all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. So you think back, Josiah's 26, and he started about the cleansing. They found the book, they've cleaned the land, and now they've once again put in place the Feast of the Lord, and they've kept this Passover, and because it was, I believe, such a corporate event where everybody was involved from Jerusalem and aside, it's said here that there was never one like it. And we're pretty much done with the bulk of what's spoken of Josiah. But here we're going to look at his closing days, if you will. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, which his anger was aroused against Judah because of the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. So just as the Lord promised, he's not going to, the country will not be overtaken basically on Josiah's watch. And the Lord said, I will also remove Judah from my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off the city Jerusalem which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went to the aid of the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him. And Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he confronted him. Then his servants moved his body in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, anointed him, and made him king in his father's place. And then just a little bit to continue the story here. Pharaoh Necho II, actually, he goes to the aid of Assyria, and they're actually going up against Babylon. He's there about 3 months. Comes back and he captures Jehoahaz and he takes him to Egypt, basically where he dies. And before Necho leaves, he puts in power Jehoiakim as king. And it turns out that it was actually prophesied that again that he would be taken to Egypt captive, and it's in Jeremiah here. I'm not really going to read it, but the word Shalom here basically means retribution, and of course that is Jehoahaz. And if we look back in the Chronicles, we can see the sons of Josiah, who they were. And so in this case, the people had put the fourth son into power. When he's taken by Necho, they again put Jehoiakim in, and then Zedekiah takes over after that. So kind of to wrap things up here, we have this, what's said about Josiah, which we just read. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. And then we have a similar comment about Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 18. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him. For he held fast to the Lord, he did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. So two great kings here, and these are glowing accolades of they are, but how are Josiah and Hezekiah unique? I thought about this and did some research, and basically Hezekiah could be thought more of, he was more faithful, where Josiah was more obedient in terms of application of the law. So I want a few things we can learn from Josiah. One, regardless of our spiritual heritage, we can please God. Again, you could see it would have been very easy for him to get caught up in the pagan worship, which was there. And fortunately, he didn't. We saw, even as a young king, and he was a king who was humble in spirit, and he came to faith just like we all do, by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We saw the power of the living written word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Josiah, armed with just the book of Deuteronomy, leads the entire nation back into this proper relationship with God. And we have the whole Bible. And you may be asking, why wasn't God with Josiah when he fought against Egypt? And basically, I think it wasn't God's plan. For one, he went out there on his own accord to block Necho, Pharaoh Necho, from basically assisting Assyria, who was fighting against Babylon, the very place they're going to be taken captive in 25 years. So, a little bit of application. What spiritual heritage are you going to leave for your children and grandchildren? And from Deuteronomy, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And another question I'd like you to consider, if our worship is true. Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So are you like Josiah, or are you like he who kills a bull as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck, he who offers a grain offering as he offers swine's blood, he who burns incense as He blesses an idol, just as they have chosen their own ways. And their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. So, again, kind of ask you, are you seeking him? Let's go ahead and pray, and I'll take any questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the freedom we have to openly learn from it, discuss it in this country. Father, we pray today that the service would be pleasing to you and that we might grow from what we've heard. It's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Are there any questions? Well, the judgment goes all the way back to Manasseh. I mean, God, we could go back there, but basically, we actually read a little bit, but the judgment was going to come no matter what. But because of Josiah's actions and how he responded to the law, God put off the, judgment or destruction of Judah until after he was gone. Again, you know, I asked the same question to myself, why wasn't God with him? And that, as I said, that was the best I could come up with. It clearly wasn't in God's will for him to go out and basically get in a fight that wasn't his fight. I mean, he may very well have, brought the judgment right away. Right.
That's the message we're supposed to get there. Their evilness prior to the king still was not enough.
Well, there were 75 years of paganism between Hezekiah, right, and Josiah. Yeah. Quite a while. All right, you're dismissed. Thanks.